Thank you, Temple Baptist Orchestra and Choir, and thank you, congregation, for some beautiful singing. Praise the Lord. How are you doing today? Did you miss me? You know, it's always good to be missed. I mean, if you come back and they say, "You already back?" It's not a good sign. But I heard, and I want you to affirm this, that you heard some awesome music and preaching while I was gone. See, when you hear that I slip out of town, don't think for a moment that, well, let's don't go today. Steve's not preaching, because I'm going to tell you something, friend. You will get something extraordinary when you come to Temple. As a matter of fact, I want to thank God for all the staff and the participants of this church and the great work they do. And for a congregation that makes them look good, they make me look good, and I hope we all make the Lord look good. What do you think about that? Well, it's good to see you. I'm going to ask you now to stand in honor of the Word of God and turn to the book of Galatians, as now we get to a text of Scripture coming out of our understanding of our freedom in Jesus Christ, freedom from legalism on the one hand, and certainly freedom from libertinism on the other hand. I mean, it's one thing to be free from legalism, but it's what we're free to do now, namely to live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit and to attain the destiny that you, whether you recognize it or not, have always wanted. To be free to be the unique creation in Jesus Christ that God has destined you to be. So the verses we'll read today are verses 16 through 18 of chapter 5, and the Bible reads as follows: "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love to sing hallelujah, literally rendered, praise the Lord. You inhabit the praises of your people. It is fitting that God's people praise the Lord. And Father, we want to enter your courts with thanksgiving and your gates with praise, because you are worthy. Now, Father, as we come to this portion of the worship service and the listening and receiving of the Word of God by the Spirit of God is the pinnacle of that worship service, we pray that you will penetrate into the deepest recesses of our lives, both consciously and subconsciously. We pray that in these moments together that we will actually learn something that will change our lives. I'm tired of being the way I am. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. God, lead us out here now. And as is always the case, we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus in him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. I love to talk about the Holy Spirit in a Southern Baptist crowd. A lot of times as I listen to our own people, I discover you're afraid of the Holy Spirit. You got to watch that now. We're talking about the Spirit. I mean, you're real good now with the Word. That's good. You get a little nervous about that Spirit. And I want to inform you of something here today that I hope you'll receive right off the bat. The Holy Spirit of God is your best friend. I'm not talking about a doctrine or a theoretical concept or some kind of abstract. Those things are good too. I'm talking about a living, real person who lives inside your skin. I'm not simply talking about a vapor or a gas or a Obi-Wan Kenobi, a force. I'm talking about a being, an entity that lives within you. The Spirit of God is your friend. Now, God talks to you in all kinds of ways. I don't know how in the world you can conclude that you have a relationship with God, a personal being, but that personal being does not communicate to you and allow you to communicate with Him. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I mean, some of you think that God wrote a book and He's retired. He patted you on the hind end and said, good luck, I'll see you when you get to heaven, and has no more involvement in your life. You're very comfortable with the objective truth of God. You're less comfortable with the subjective reality within your own heart. But that's just as real. God leads you. He talks to you. He leads you according to the lines of Scripture. He even leads you beyond Scripture in the sense that not everything He leads you in will have chapter and verse. It will be guided by biblical principles, no doubt. But God did not show me chapter and verse that Maria was the wife I was to marry. And I believe with everything in me that God led me to her and wanted me to marry her. He did not have a chapter and verse for me to choose the schools I go to or whether or not to accept to be your pastor. These are things I feel sure God told me to do, but they did not have chapter and verse. They were guided by biblical principles, but it went beyond it. Because not only do I have the Word of God, I've got the Spirit of God within. Now, the Spirit of God within will never tell you anything that contradicts the Word of God. And if you come to me and you say, the Spirit is leading me to do thus and so, and it contradicts the Word of God, then you have just told me your leading is not from the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Do you understand that? But He speaks. He's a very articulate God. He's alive and well, not sweating. Everything's right on schedule. He's not worried about the upcoming election. He's not rivaled by what's going on in foreign countries. God is very articulate, very confident in the scheme of things. Everything's right on schedule. And you can rest in that too. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to do anything, but you can rest in that knowledge. God is in charge. And He lives within you to talk to you. How does God talk to you? Well, He talks to you through the Word. He talks to you through other people. He talks to you through sermons. He talks to you through impressions. He talks to you through the inner voice. God is very articulate. Sometimes it comes, you're reading a passage, it just jumps out to you. It's kind of an influence. It has a kind of quality and tone, a motivation. It's more than influence. It's more than a motivation. It's more than a quality. It's more than a tone. But it's a stream of life within your life that takes on the nature of being something that is beyond you, and it's God. It's God. Sometimes you'll have an impression that is so vivid, so real, that it's virtually audible. If God speaks thoughts in your mind, it should be easy to understand that He would speak His thoughts in your thoughts using your own brain. I remember an evangelical, and if I told you his name, he's a very popular preacher, you would know who I was talking about, making fun of people who said that they heard a still, small, quiet voice inside that it was God, and then said, was he baritone or bass? What was his dialect? Was it in English or Spanish? Went on really having a good time. If the gentleman would have asked me, I would have told him, I believe that God's voice would have been cast in, well, your voice. You've got talk going on in you all the time. And God will speak through you to you. Now, I read a lot of theoretical things, and every now and then I got to come down out of the clouds. I mean, I just get cold as a wedge if I don't. And so I'm reading Philip Yancey's latest book on prayer. Highly recommend it. I hope I get a cut for that endorsement. It seems that every time I recommend a book, the bookstores around here are celebrating for the sales they make. But that is a good one to be well worth your read. Is that quote in your notes as well? Read this with me, because I think he captures something that you need to get a hold of, understanding the subjective working of God in your heart. He says, as I persist at prayer, I recognize an answering partner who takes up the other side of the dialogue. A kind of internal alter ego representing God's point of view. Boy, it's good. His thoughts and your thoughts. His voice and your voice. When I want revenge, this partner reminds me of forgiveness. When obsessed with my own selfish needs, I am struck with the needs of others. Suddenly, I realize I'm not talking to myself in this inner dialogue. The Spirit of God is praying within me, communicating the will of the Father. Now, if that's good, say that's good. That's good. You see? There's what you call self-talk. It's going on inside you right now. And there's something that I want to state unequivocally that is true of every individual that is listening to the sound of my voice today. You can come to church dressing the part. I can wear my little coat. I can tote my Bible. I can say, praise Jesus and thank you, Lord. I can schmooze through to my various responsibilities, looking good and like I have it all together. But one thing we all have in common to a man, to a woman, is this. There is a conflict within you you can't overcome. Let me say that again. I got a few amens over here, a little hesitancy over here. Okay, let me say it again. There is a conflict within every one of you that you yourself can't overcome. You need to circle you, because I'm talking about you yourself. This is what Paul was talking about in Romans 7. He revisits it here. See, we know about this conflict. It is deep within us. We cannot overcome it. See, there are some things that we want to do. Our intentions are good. We plan it. We think about it. We even say, I'm going to do it. And then what happens? So oftentimes, we wind up not doing it, but the opposite of what we want to do. What is this going on in here? With others of you, there is something you want to stop doing. And you can't stop to save your life. You do all right for a few days. You might get a week and a few months in, but inevitably you go back. And you don't want to do this anymore. It's destroying you. It's destroying the others around you. But despite yourself and all your self-determined efforts, you find yourself falling again and again and again in that trap. You see, you're not alone. You're not alone. I know you've met the super spiritual Christians that have it all together. And if I meet one more, I'm going to shave the rest of my hair off and join a monastery. I'm sick of it. I'm ready for honesty. I'm ready for reality. I'm ready for the Lord Jesus to embrace us as we are so that He can take us where only He can take us to. Now, the conflict in this text says this. That it's between the spirit and the sinful nature. It's in verse 17. I'm going to be all over the place today with these three verses, but stick with me. Now notice what the text says. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not know what you want. Now, something very important shows up here in the Greek text, and I don't bring this out unless it's very important. The definite article is not in front of spirit, and it's not in front of sinful nature. So if I read that literally, I would read it for sinful nature desires what is contrary to spirit, and spirit what is contrary to sinful nature. And it's very important. Notice that the S on that spirit is a capital S. He's talking about the Spirit of God and the sinful nature. And you, as it were, and this will become very important later on in the sermon, you have to stand out from yourself in the uniqueness of who you are in Jesus Christ and recognize this war going on in you between the Spirit of God and your sinful nature. Now, let me say something about that sinful nature. If you have a King James Bible, you will note that it says flesh. And he's not talking about the skin covering your bone structure. He is talking about this sinful nature, and that's why the NIV translators translated it such, so to be clear. See, what is the sinful nature? It is that part of you outside of Christ that will not be ultimately redeemed until glory that you will have to contend with the rest of your life here. Okay, now let me explain something very important about this. Stick with me. I'm not going to get into all the technical argument of it, but you need to hear this. See, before you were saved, and I've gone over this before, and this is why when some of you come here and you don't understand everything I'm saying, keep coming because I come back at it. See, you get a little bit at a time. Your human spirit is dead towards the things of God before you're saved. It doesn't mean that you're dead. It's functioning. It's alive. It can make choices. But what's the problem? With the absence of God, it only makes sinful choices. See, the pure motive for everything you and I do is out of a love for God. And someone who does not know God can never do something out of a pure motive of love for God. If you have problems with that, you have problems with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned." And you got somebody you're trying to make sense out of that don't know God. You don't understand why. That's the problem. God has to turn the lights on. So what does it mean? Well, it cannot cooperate with divine activity. God has got to do something to give you the ability to do it. So what happens in regeneration is that you receive Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God comes inside your skin, regenerates your dead human spirit. Now it's alive to the things of God. You have the mind of Christ. You have new capacities, new desires. You can cooperate with divine activity, though the sinful nature, that what you were before Christ, is not eradicated in this lifetime, as some denominations teach. You will deal with it until you're ultimately redeemed. Well, then what is the difference before conversion and after conversion? I'm glad you asked. Before conversion, you are at the mercy of your sinful nature. After conversion, the sinful nature is at your mercy. You see, you stand in the uniqueness of who you are in Jesus Christ, and instead of being dominated and controlled by the sinful nature, now you're in charge, you can control and dominate it. And in a progressive way, as the Spirit of God works with you, and you do this by the Spirit, you overcome that conflict. So do you understand? The conflict, as you're looking at that war that is raging within you, is between the Spirit and the sinful nature. And it's particularly Christian. What does that mean? If you're lost here this morning, there's a conflict in you too. Romans 1 and 2 talks about it. That you know the difference between right and wrong and you make decisions on that. The nicest man at Harry's Cadillac Parts Department was lost as a goose. But every time he did me wrong or anybody else wrong, he'd come and apologize. Well, he didn't know God. Where'd that come from? He has a moral barometer in him, as does every human being, which to me is an argument for the existence of God, that when he did something wrong, he had to come and apologize. But the battle you go through as a Christian is much deeper and fierce than that battle will ever be. Do you hear me? And you got to understand, it will not be eradicated this side of heaven. Those who believe that said that they didn't attain it and that they had never met anybody that attained it, but they believed it's possible. That's another way of saying it ain't going to happen. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. The conflict is between, the text says, the desires of the Spirit and the sinful nature. Now, this is key. Let's look in verse 17. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not know what you want. Now, this is very, very important to those of you who have a problem with the subjective reality of God within your heart. Because he is saying here that this battle that is going on inside is a battle of what? Desires. The Spirit is asserting his desires against ungodly desires, and your sinful nature is asserting desires against the Spirit. There is the war. So these desires are battling back and forth with each other. Furthermore, an assumption is made that you can recognize desires that are from God and desires that are from yourself. Now, I admit, the more informed you are in Scripture, the more you can recognize them. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Most of you in here, if you think very deeply about what's going on inside you in a war about what you ought to do, right and wrong and all the rest, you have an amazing capacity within you to recognize the stream of God's life in you and the stream of your life in you. And so what happens here is that the Spirit is asserting desires, inclinations, against desires and inclinations within you. And the reason you have to see yourself standing out from that, in your freedom in Jesus Christ, now that the Holy Spirit dwells, your Holy Spirit, now that you can cooperate by trusting and obeying, you have a part to play, and if you don't understand that, you are going to be pummeled by the sinful nature. Which leads me to my last aspect of this conflict. This conflict is between, watch this, wanting to do what is good and the inability to carry it out. That's what he means when he says it's the same thing he was talking about in Romans 7. Looking at last sentence, he says, between the spirit and sinful nature, they are in conflict with each other, watch this, so that you do not do what you want. You yourself cannot overcome this conflict. That is the argument of Romans 7. That is the argument here. We're going to get to what God says is your deliverance, but now you must understand you yourself cannot overcome this conflict within you. If you understand where I've gone so far, say amen. Okay? Keep your hand right there and turn to Romans 7. I'm going to show this to you biblically because it could be, out of all the things I say today, it'll be the least important because you'll take this text home and soak on it. And I don't mind one bit taking the time to read it. You mind one bit taking the time to listen to it? All right, here it is. If you're there, say amen. Okay, tell me if this describes your experience. Oftentimes, Romans chapter 7, let's begin with verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but what's the problem? I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, who I am in Jesus Christ, but what? It is the sin living in me, that principle. And he'll refer to it as sinful nature, next verse. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, he clarifies, in my sinful nature. Why? For I have the desire to do what is good, but what's the problem? I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. The skunk sat on a burning stump. The stump thunk the skunk stunk. The skunk thumped the stump stunk. Which one stunk, the stump or the skunk? I mean, you see that, don't you? Look at this war that's going on. There is a conflict at this point of the text in chapter 7 that he is saying, and he screams out to the end, who is going to save me from my wretched self? We all know what this is like. You have stuff in you that wafts in and out of your spirit from time to time that you cannot believe you being saved even think about. You have things that go on in you, and you ask yourself, what in the world is wrong? Why in the world am I like this? And it's this struggle we're talking about. So before we can go to where the Word shows us out of it, we must all come to a fundamental decision here today that you and I have an unremitted and war raging within us that we ourselves can't overcome. We're at the mercy of God that He has done something and will do something. Are you there? Say amen. Here we go. Here's the teaching of Scripture. Here's the way out. You ready? The Word of God teaches, when and as you go with the Spirit, He overcomes the conflicting desires within you. Let me say that again. I thought that was profound. I thought I heard God say amen when I came up with that in my study. Maybe not. Here, because this is very important. I thought a lot about this. When and as you go with the desires of the Spirit, He overcomes the conflicting desires within you. And by the way, there's no other way. The reason you need to understand this, you cannot remain neutral in this struggle. If you remain neutral in some passive state and cry out, God deliver me, you can forget about it, because God will require of you to go with these desires. There's a battle going within you. There's the desires of the Spirit. There's your desires. And as you go with the desires of the Spirit, that's how you overcome. Now, there's two component parts. I'm going to read them, then I'll come back to them. I've got to explain them before I apply them. It is the Spirit's responsibility in this and your responsibility. Now, let me read the text, and I'll come back to them. Look in verse 16. Now, look up here. This is what is known as a present active imperative, which being interpreted means, the verse I'm about to read you, you must choose and you must continue to choose. This is not an option. This is a command. Understand? When these desires come, you must choose to go with the Spirit's desires, and you must continue to do so. If you remain in a passive state, the sinful nature will always win. Now here we go. Watch this. The first verse is in verse 16. Back over in Galatians. He says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. The reason I said when and as, what the Scripture is teaching here, and only through experience can you see how true this is, when and as you live by the Spirit, the language here is very strong, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature when and as you're doing it. Doesn't mean you're always going to do it successfully and you're not going to fail. We all do. But when and as you live by the Spirit, I'll guarantee you success without exception. That's what it's teaching. Now, look in verse 18. He says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, when he says you're not under law, you know that struggle I told you a while ago? Wanting to do something but can't, or not wanting to continue to do something and can, and you never can win that, that's the struggle under the law. You have been delivered from that through the Spirit of God. Now here, this is a present passive indicative. Very important. Because see, now you are not doing the leading, you are what? You are being led. It is the Spirit of God that is leading you, and who is to follow the leadership? Who? You. Now notice what's happened here. Listen, if counselors got a hold of this in your counseling, if you got a hold of this, right here is the biblical mandate out of all of our mess. It's right here. However you get through it and out of it, I'm not saying there's not some issues you need to clarify and get in tune with and understand and all that's important, but ultimately this will be the way out. You have to understand there is a responsibility of the Spirit and there's a responsibility you have in this interchange. Now, you ready to follow what that is? Here we go. What, first of all, then, is the Spirit's responsibility? The Spirit of God, His responsibility, is to lead you by asserting His desires against the desires within you that conflict with his desires. Now, I said it cumbersome that way for a purpose. Because I want you to see yourself making decisions here in the uniqueness of who you are in Jesus Christ to go with the Spirit. So what does the Spirit do? He leads you by what? By asserting his desires. Where? Within your heart. He asserts those desires that go against the desires that are within you that conflict with his desires. That's his responsibility. Well, then what's my responsibility? Your responsibility is to go with his desires instead of going with the desires within you that conflict with his desires. You with me? You see that? Now, you have two sets of desires. You got the Spirit of God leading you with his desires. You've got your desires that are conflicting with those desires. And there you stand with the God-given power and ability to make a choice as to which desires you'll go. And when and as you go with the desires of the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. It does not mean that you won't be tempted. It does not mean that they'll wear you down. It doesn't mean that you won't fail from time to time. But the greater you learn this, the greater along the path you'll be, and you will be delivered without exception. I'm here to testify to it. Now, let me give you an example. You ready? I'm almost through. Oh, I'm doing real well. I'm almost through. What's the example? Some days I just get up and really get in tune with God. It's just amazing. I feel it. I think it. I'm just chiropracted into it. I mean, I'm rolling. As a matter of fact, when you see me on those kind of mornings, you might even see a halo. I'm just buzzing with God. I mean, I see God everywhere. Out in nature, everything I say is just like sugar dripping from my lips. It's just a glorious day. Boy, would they all be like that. And in other days, I'm dry as a chip. I wonder where God is. I'm wondering if I'm still saved and all the rest. And those are a part of the process too. But on one of these mornings, I mean, I was just really dialed in and things were going well and I was being cooperative with God when suddenly a thought of somebody, may I dare say as a preacher, I didn't like came across my mind. I love them in the Lord, but I don't like them. And don't say, well, you got to like everybody because I don't and you don't. But we can love them in the Lord, speak well of them, treat them well when we get opportunity, pray for them and all that. And it's not anybody in this church. I love all y'all. But it's someone you would know, and some things that this individual said just started cooking me a little. So I started getting contemptuous inside, and I started feeling the flames. All of a sudden, my peace was dissipating. My glide was being disrupted. My joy challenged. And if anyone had come up to me in that moment and brought that name off, it would have been like tilt sign going off on a pinball machine. And I'd be off and running with my contemptuous statements about what they had said. And justifying it, by the way. By the way, if you ever know something about anger, it's all righteous indignation when you're angry. You know, it's over principles of right and wrong. They shouldn't have said it. You got to stand up for the truth and all this. And so the flow of contempt was coming. And I had not encountered another social relationship or construct at that point. And so here I was starting to go down that line and losing all that halo effect that I had been enjoying when suddenly, like a dart out of nowhere, this came to my spirit. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs that it may benefit those who listen. Now, what if I said, yeah, I know that's what it says, God, over there in Ephesians, but right now, I've got something to say, I've got somebody to straighten out, I've got a truth to articulate. Give me 15 minutes and I'll pray for forgiveness and get back on that verse. Now, I had a choice at that moment. You see the conflicting desires? What am I going to do? What do I feel like doing? I want a contempt. I want to get it. It'll be very therapeutic if I get it out, right? I got a choice. I chose to go with God and do something very, very profound and spiritual. You ready? Keep my mouth shut. And let me tell you something. Within a span of about 90 seconds, I was totally delivered. That's what that's talking about. See, the mess you're in right now is because you did not go with those desires you knew to go with. And if you had gone with them, the Spirit of God, a promise by the Word of God, the objective truth about your subjective reality, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And that, my friend, is normal Christianity. Now, listen. I'm getting old and ornery. And the truth of the matter is that I've got a few years left in my life, I reckon. I partied hardy for a lot of years, so I've never anticipated I'd live long. And I'm at the stage now that I am more interested in you taking what I teach out that door and putting it into practice. I'm glad you enjoy my sermons and you think I'm a good preacher, those of you who are very spiritual and think that. But I'm more interested in what I teach being seen as a living reality in your life. And I want you to do me a favor today. I ask this to the first audience. I believe they're going to take me up on it. This is something you will never know unless you try it. Another quickie. Have y'all ever been on a road trip with an entire family for a lengthy period of time? Now, is it true if you don't have your mind set, you're going to snap, right? Well, I know y'all don't do it, but I do. And either they want to watch a movie and the noise or the music or a computer game or they're arguing, whatever it is. And some of that, of course, I was being very godly and spiritual, but some of them, they were going back and forth. And I thought, you know, I've got to get my head right here. I'm going to say something I regret. So I says, God, give me something right now, just in the quietness of my heart. And I feel these other desires. I'm ready to get some folks straightened out here. Are there any in there? Where are you in here? Can you help me out here? And all of a sudden, love is patient. I just started saying it like a chant over and over in my heart. Love is patient. Love is patient. And the more I did that, all of a sudden, God started expanding it. And God says, "It's by the way, I love you, and I'm patient with you. And by the way, it takes a lot of patience to be with me. Ask my wife. And I have flooded you with my patience. You can be patient with them. I want you to know, I didn't even record the time. I was testing out this text, make sure it worked before I preached it. It was gone. There's not a thing they could have done in that moment to touch me. And the ironic thing is, it got quiet as a mouse. Didn't have to say a word. I'm telling you, this is something you have, when those desires are conflicting. Yeah, you know, get in a word, learn more about what God's desires are, go with them, even when it goes against the grain of your feelings, and watch what happens. You will be so excited. You'll come back, preacher, I got to tell you. Now, that's the assignment. I'm not preaching to crowds anymore, by the way. I'm just preaching to individuals. I want you to try this out. Someone came up to me after the first service, already tried it. As a matter of fact, you might, before you get out of this service day, get an opportunity. Someone hits you out there with something when you go out there, or before the day's over, you'll get a chance. Don't worry about it. God will give you plenty of opportunities, and what He doesn't get to today, He'll get to the rest of the week. And then as you work on this and try it, if you see me come up and say, you know what? Scripture's the truth. I went with the desires of the Spirit. I mean, to tell you, I was about to get myself, Steve, absolute and total deliverance. I think we're on to something. Folks, you can bank your life on this. You can bank your life on this. When and as you go with the Spirit of God, He, not you, He will overcome the desires within you that conflict with His desires. And listen to me. When you get in Galatians 6, you will discover that as you follow the desires of the Spirit of God, they are called life. While if you follow the desires of the sinful nature, it is called death. And we know the experience, don't we? So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not know what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Don't you think that's a passage that you need to memorize too? Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to go with the Spirit of God so that we know the life we were created to live. All those who join me with making this a fundamental decision today, would you give them the courage to make it, follow through on it, and testify about it? And all of God's people said, amen.